Now, I've been asked to bring a missionary challenge. That's the way it has been advertised. And I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And I trust as we read the scriptures and seek to bring the message that we will be challenged. How blessed a thing it would be if the Lord was to come by tonight and put his hand upon some individual here and call them into the work. That would be a delight to us all. Great encouragement to the preachers that are here, and a great encouragement to our missionary that is here with us tonight. So we trust that the Lord will indeed speak in a fairly powerful way. I do want you to know, as we approach this passage of Scripture, that in a very real sense, every single child of God here tonight is a missionary. You are indeed a full-time worker. You may not be a missionary in the sense that Gillian Gillespie is a missionary, but you ought to be in full-time work. I'd like to clarify that, because we usually speak about those being in full-time service who have gone into the work and they're serving the Lord in that full-time way. But you see, every Christian is a Christian full-time. And no matter where we are, we're serving the Lord. In our homes, in school, in our workplaces, in our community. And in that sense, we're all missionaries, seeking to spread the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that tonight before we leave this meeting. You are a servant of Christ, an ambassador representing him, a preacher, a missionary in your own right. And God has a work appointed for you. And the great question is, are you fulfilling your responsibility as a child of God? Are you serving the Lord? Are you doing what you can? And that's what we're going to think about tonight. Doing what you can for God. And we're going to read about a woman who did just that here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work in me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Ending the reading at verse 9. Let's just bow in a little word of prayer. We're glad to be here tonight and to have a part in this meeting. Time is running on. I'm conscious of that. We'll not be preaching at length, but I do believe there's a word here for us in the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that we've heard. The challenge of this meeting has been already to us all. We pray that as we come to the scriptures now, that thou wilt settle our minds and our hearts down not a little bit more into the presence of God, and give us a proper frame of mind for the receiving of thy word. We pray that we'll feel the challenge, that we'll sense something of the burden that we ought to have for the work of God in our day. And may there be a going forth, a fulfilling of the great commission. We pray that doors will open, many will enter through, and even from this meeting tonight, that some life will be touched and challenged by the Lord himself. Grant us now the ministry and the help of the Holy Spirit of God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Doing what you can for God. And we're taking for our text verse 8, and the opening line of it, where we're told concerning this woman, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. A beautiful act of love, devotion, and generosity is bestowed upon the blessed Saviour by this unnamed woman of Mark chapter 14. This woman enters into the house, the home of Simon the leper, who was showing kind hospitality to Jesus and his disciples just a few days before the cross. Soon the Lord must die. Soon he must be crucified for our sins. Soon he must enter in upon the agony of Calvary, to die the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. But just a few days beforehand, this wonderful act of love was bestowed upon him. In comes this woman, carrying with her a very precious, costly box of ointment, and proceeds to pour it over the head of her Lord and Saviour, in an act of respect, gratitude, and love. There is a very interesting and arresting testimony borne by the Saviour concerning this woman. We read it there in verse 9. Jesus said, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Our Saviour highly esteems her. Nowhere perhaps in the Gospels do we find such strong praises bestowed in any person as on this woman, the praise that she receives from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And I want on that great day the Saviour's commendation. That's something that we all should be striving for in this meeting. When we come to stand before the Lord and to think of the work that we've done for him on earth, that we shall receive the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." Strive to be like this woman, and seek by the grace of God to do what you can for the glory of Jesus Christ. As we approach this subject, doing what you can for God, I want you to notice first of all her activity. And notice very carefully the words in our text, "she hath done," recorded again in verse 9 of the chapter. And I want you to understand that here is a woman who did something. She was an active Christian. She was active in her service to the Lord Jesus. She certainly wasn't an armchair Christian. We sometimes speak in such terms of those who do little or nothing for the Lord as being armchair Christians. And you know how it is on a cold wintering night. There's nothing more inviting than going into your home, putting back the armchair, sitting up there close to the fire and doing nothing. Well, some Christians are like that spiritually. And they sit back and they do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. This unnamed, unknown woman left her home. And she made her way to the residence of Simon because she knew that the Lord was there and she had something that she wanted to do. Now, it was a very simple act. It was also a very sacrificial act, and we'll come to see that just in a short time. It was a sincere act and a serving act. Her act was one of giving. Giving of her substance. Giving of her possessions and her wealth. And she is commended by the Lord Jesus Christ for so doing. Sometimes people do something or give something for the wrong motive. But not so with this woman. In love for the Saviour, out of personal gratitude, she rises to bestow this work of kindness upon the Lord. You know, the great problem today in the Christian church is inactivity among professing Christians. They are drones and not workers. If you know anything about bees, and I know very little about bees, but I understand that the majority of the bees are workers and they work very hard. But within the colony of bees there are drones, and the drones do nothing. And within the Christian church there are many drones, and there's very few workers. God is looking for an active church, a people who will do something for the Lord. How often we have those Bible commands, many of them fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks about activity, about doing something for the Lord, speaks about our work, our service, our activeness. Take the Great Commission tonight. We're in a missionary meeting. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's doing something for the Lord. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Or even the exhortation to give to the poor. Activity. I wonder tonight, are you active? Are you a doing Christian? Are you working for the Lord? We see here in this example in the scriptures tonight that here is a woman who is fully active in the service of Christ. Her activity. But notice also her capacity. It says here that she did what she could. God never expects us to do what we cannot do, or to give what we have not. But we should be able to get to that place in our Christian lives where we can say that we do what we can. Whether it's applied to the work that we do or the giving of what we have to the Lord's work, because giving is a work. This individual here is giving to the Lord, but the Lord speaks about her doing something in her giving. There is a hymn that comes to mind tonight, one that is often challenged and blessed me, and I think we're going to sing it at the end of the meeting. Hark the voice of Jesus crying. Who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? And there's a great need, a tremendous need for individuals to go and serve the Lord. There's a great harvest that needs to be gathered in. It's white already to harvest, says the Lord Jesus. What a potential there is standing before us this night. This mammoth harvest that needs to be gathered in unto the Lord. The great lamentation that Jesus had in his day is still the same today. There's few workers. The laborers are few. And as you read that hymn, you'll discover that the verses are so challenging and so appropriate in the light of our text tonight. If you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen lands explore, you can find the heathen nearer. You can help them at your door. And not everybody is called to be a missionary. Not everybody is called in this sense to go to another country like our sister Gillian has done, and the other missionaries that are out there in Kenya, and the other missionaries that were sent forth onto the mission field. And we thank God tonight for them, that they heard the call, that they obeyed the call, and the Lord equipped them, and the Lord is using them. But not everyone is called to be a missionary in that sense. But there are souls that need to be reached at home, in our Jerusalem. You have a neighbor that needs the gospel. You have a loved one in your family still traveling the broad way that leads to a lost eternity. They need to be reached. You have a work colleague, a school friend, and they're lost. Lost without hope. And if they die in that condition, they'll be lost forever in a Christless eternity. And what a responsibility, what a burden we ought to have for them as we seek to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the Lord hasn't called you to be a missionary in a distant land, but you can do what you can at home. You can be a missionary on your doorstep. Go to knock a door. Bring the gospel and the outreach program of your church. Speak to a friend. Spread the light of the gospel to that individual. Bring another to church. Bring them in under the sound of the word of God and let them hear the gospel as it is preached. Give out a gospel tract, a very simple act, and yet many have been converted to Jesus Christ by that means. If you cannot give your thousands, the hymn goes on to say, you can give the widow's mite. And the least you do for Jesus will be precious in his sight. Never forget this. There are those who can give their thousands, and they have done so. And they too are like this woman. They are doing what they can. And we thank God for those that are able to give in that fashion. Give to the offerings of the work of God generously. Give to the mission field and other aspects of the work of God. But the widow's mite is just as precious in God's sight. In fact, the widow's mite may be far more considerable in comparison to those who have given their thousands. You just turn back a page and notice what it says there at the end of Mark chapter 12. You have the story where the Lord Jesus Christ sat watching the treasury. He watched what the people were putting into the offering. No minister would dare do that today, or any other church leader, not that I know of. I wouldn't do it, and don't think our brother Martin would do it either. But you know, the Lord Jesus sat by and he watched. And the Bible says in verse 41 that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Oh, the widow's mite. The least we do for Jesus. And God will be precious in his sight. When we were in Kenya last summer, and we had the opportunity to visit around the churches, we were told just to be careful when it came to the offering time, not to put in too much. Not that the churches didn't need it, but so that the Kenyan people would not be embarrassed by our much giving. And maybe our little giving was much giving in their sight. The Kenyan people just threw in a few shillings. And if you don't know how to translate the shillings into our money, if I'm right, 100 shillings is worth about £7. Some of those people work for a week and they will get 1,000 shillings. That's not very much. No, 100 shillings is 70 pence. Where's Gillian? I'm almost losing track of her. And 1,000 shillings is £7. And so when they threw in their few shillings, they were giving the widow's mite. They were giving perhaps all that they had. They were giving according to their ability. And that is a scriptural principle. We are not only instructed how to give. And if you want to know how to give to the Lord, and I trust that you did this when you had the offering tonight, you read what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Let me read it to you, because it's always a challenge to me when I read these words. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 9 and verse 7. Paul says, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. And notice what it says here at the end of the verse. For God loveth a cheerful giver. That's how you are to give. By the way, the word cheerful in the Greek is the word hilarious. And we get the word in English hilarious from that Greek word. So you are to give hilariously. You are to give with joy, with a laugh. It's a pleasure for you to give. That's how we are to give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. But the Bible not only tells us how to give, it tells us what to give. And there is this principle running throughout the scriptures, but let me read to you what Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17 says, because this is what we are to give. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Now that's what we're to give, as we are able, and according as the Lord has blessed us. And you will hear so often when it comes to the offering that a preacher will say, now let's give not only as the Lord has laid upon our hand, but our heart, but let's give according to our ability. And that's what we are to give. If God has prospered us, it stands to reason that we give more. If we are poor, then we will give little, but we give according to our ability. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all. And not everyone has the capacity to preach. Not everyone is gifted to the ministry or called to this work. But in your own quiet, simple way, you can spread the love of Jesus Christ to a perishing world. You can reach out to some poor lost soul. You can do what this woman did. She did what she could, and you can do what you can. If among the older people you may not be apt to teach, feed my lambs, said Christ our shepherd. Place the food within their reach. You may not even be able to give a testimony publicly, or go on door-to-door outreach and tell others about the Saviour on their doorstep. But there are little lambs that need to be rescued, need to be saved, and what jewels these are in the hand of God. Do what you can. And if you learn anything from this woman's example tonight, it's this vital lesson. You can do what you can. You can do according to your ability, to your capacity. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you. And then thirdly and finally, I want you to see her liberality. This woman gave something of great value. She gave sacrificially and with generosity. She poured upon the Saviour's head a whole jar of pure nard, a very expensive perfume. When some of the guests objected to this act of devotion, calling it a waste of money, I want you to notice that what she had given was an actual fact equivalent to the salary that a man might get for a year. You translate up the 300 pence and it will correspond to a year's salary. What might that be? Well, it depends on your income. For some it might be 10,000, it might be 20,000, it might be 30,000 or even more. And this woman, in her giving to the Lord, she gave a whole salary that you would earn in a year. Never has there been a time when people have had it so good as far as material possessions are concerned. Never has there been a generation when God has allowed so many to thrive and get gain. Years ago, people were not as wealthy as they are today. 50 years ago, I can't remember that, and there's not many here can remember that. But 50 years ago, people did not have the riches that so many have today. There were rich individuals, but they were fewer in number. Families didn't have the homes that you and I have today. They didn't go on the holidays that so many of you young people go on every year. And they certainly didn't have the possessions that you have. Even when I was growing up, and that's not that terribly long ago, I can speak of the difference whenever I was in my childhood to today and my children in their childhood. We rarely went on holidays. And when we did, it wasn't that terribly far away, maybe within the country, or we used to make some visits over to Scotland. We only had one good suit for a Sunday. Some of you have many suits and you ladies have many outfits, but you had to keep your best suit for the Lord's Day and for the worship of God on the Sabbath, and you had to look after your shoes as well, for shoes were precious. I can remember the very first bike that I ever got. It was a second hand bike, and later on I got a new one, and that was to the envy of my five sisters, because they never got a new bike. So the boy of the family was spoiled in that respect. But what a blessing that was in my childhood. But bikes, you get two or three of them or more in your childhood now. I'm making the point that there's never been a day when society in general has been so well off. And that being the case, there has never been a day when they are financially able to give to God's work and to give liberally. God loveth a cheerful giver. And that's what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. But he also teaches liberality. We are to give cheerfully. We are to give willingly. We are to give accordingly. We are to give in simplicity. We are to give regularly. All those things are taught in the Bible, but we are also to give liberally. And if you take time to look at that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you will notice that the previous verse, verse 6, says this: He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then he goes on to speak on the subject of giving. Are you doing what you can, young people, tonight? That's the challenge of this meeting. That's the burden of my heart. Are you doing what you can? Maybe you're asking the question, well, what can I do? Well, there's so many things that you can do. You need to pray about that and ask the Lord what he will have you to do, and the Lord will direct your footsteps. But from this number tonight, there are those who could go. There are those who could go. An appeal has been made tonight from our sister Gillian. She has set before us all the great need there in Kenya the many that are not being reached, the vastness of the work. There's Kenya, there's other African countries, there's many other parts in the world, and the name of Jesus has never been heard among the millions. You can go, you can fulfill the Great Commission where the Lord Jesus says, go ye. Not go your neighbour, not go your friend, not the person beside you, but in a very personal way, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You can go forward with the truth of God, for the harvest truly is plenteous. There's a great need. And you can give. The thing that this woman did was giving. She gave what she had. A young child came to me at the missionary weekend with one of the little missionary council boxes, and he had been saving up his pennies and his 5p's and his 10p's, whatever he was able to put into it. And it was just over £7 in that box. But the little boy was giving what he could, giving according to his ability. And you can certainly pray. And there's many aspects of the work need your prayers. And Gillian has challenges tonight concerning many things that you ought to be praying for with regard to the work in Kenya. Young people, you can do something. You can do something. No matter how little that something might be. Some of you have helped on the mission field. You've gone there. Some of the young people that went with us last summer, you're here tonight. Some of you have been on the Youth Council outreach. You're doing something. It might only be for a couple of weeks in the year, but it is a contribution to the Lord and doing something for Him. We took the Kenyan trip in the summertime, and those young people that went, they did something. And they painted the Christian Academy. And they went on outreach. And they spoke at meetings. And they gave their testimony. And while we were there, we saw there was a great need for a piano. Very few pianos among the congregation there, if any, in the land of Kenya. But with the coming of a music teacher to Kenya, in the person of Kathy Walker, there was a great need for a piano. And the young people had two offerings on the Sunday meetings in the evening time when we met together for our time of worship. And they lifted offerings for a piano. And somebody else among the number made up the difference. And you saw it on the screen tonight. And the piano is there and is being used vastly in the work of the children of the Christian Academy. Some of them came back challenged with the great needs that there were in Kenya. We visited a place called Moy's Bridge, and there's a great cry there, as there are in other parts of the work, for a church, just to build a church. We have built a beautiful church here in Ballymoney. We thank God for it. But you know, over in Kenya, to build a church will cost just about £1,500. And we had two of the individuals who came back to Northern Ireland, and they decided to take on a painting project. We trained them in Kenya. They did their apprenticeship with us, and so they came back and they did a painting job for the council where they lived. And they earned maybe not quite the £1,500 for the task that was given to them, but almost. And they made it up to £1,500, and they sent it out so that a church in Moy's Bridge can be built. You can do what you can. Another sister, she produced a recipe book. I think she's here tonight. She's run out of them. And they're all sold, and all that money is going to the work of the Lord there. Let us leave this house tonight in the light of what we've heard about this woman. And let us all devote ourselves and all that we have to the Lord Jesus and for His great glory. Our position in the world might be lowly. Our ability and our assets might be small. But let us be like her. Do what we can. The praise of Christ in the great day of judgment is something to be coveted after and sought after. I want to hear from the lips of the Lord Jesus on that great day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what you could." I trust that it will be said of me. And young people, I trust it will be said of you all tonight in this meeting. And may we all do what we can for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.